Yeah. This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1105, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Lover Lane, Virginia, it's Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, Derek Miner.
What up, though?
Just down the road there, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And from Los Angeles, California, male model, olive oil connoisseur.
Yeah.
Rapper.
Dancer.
Producer. Dancer.
Gymnast.
From Social Club Misfits. It's Marty.
What's going on, guys?
Gymnast. Are we gonna use that one?
Mustache aficionado.
From liberal California. It comes, just kidding. I don't know. Your audience, anytime.
Coming to you live from Hollyweird.
Derek knows this. This is something me and Derek can relate to. So, Derek, I was at an Uprise festival this weekend, one of my favorite festivals. You know, okay. We performed many times.
Yeah, it's lit.
Anytime. Yep. So, whenever I talk to like fans and they're like, hey, so how's Miami? I'm like, well, I just moved. I tell people the faces that people give me when I tell them I moved to California, it's almost like, they can't believe it. They think it's a war zone. They think people are murdering each other. It's such an amazing. I'm like, no.
You moved to Hollyweird, bro.
Yeah, that's what happened. People just surf here, and that's pretty much
coming
what people
to you live
do.
From Hollyweird with a fresh injection of the woke mind virus.
Yeah, woke mind virus.
Marty, welcome.
Every time
welcome
we take a little. Woke. You know what's the worst part is that like I have to convince people that. Like being in California, that I am still a Christian. It's like this thing, like I have to, and so I always tell people, like, I told someone this the other day, I said, the gospel works the best in the darkness. And I am 100%. I love Jesus. I love my church, love my community, my friends, my everything. But like, I feel like the gospel works better in the dark. It doesn't work better in the light. So when we go to places, like, I don't even think California, I think Florida's worse. I think Florida people hide their craziness and then it comes out of nowhere. California,
they don't hide it.
No,
we don't hide nothing.
California, you never know. You'll honk the horn at someone in Florida and they'll just come out and then they have like a mohawk and they have like a hat with like fake hair in it and they'll be screaming at you with their hey dudes on and you're like, what's going on? I didn't think this guy was going to beat me up. In California, people are way more chill. They're like, leave me alone. Who cares? Who cares?
It's because they're high.
Might be, actually. Everyone's a little burnt out here. I love it, though. Like, they're super kind.
Florida,
they take time
Florida,
to enter.
Florida, they're on maybe something else.
They're more on, like, the hyper drugs, right? Like, they're on, like, drugs that get you excited and, like, hyper. And then, like
weird ones.
Yeah.
Weird behind the counter.
California
is
more of, like,
stuff.
Let me chill drug. Let me relax with these drugs. And then Florida's
more dealing
of, like,
with different things down
heroin.
Here. Did you see, literally, yesterday that they shut down half of Disney World because there was bears in the trees?
No
I mean,
way.
We got
real problems.
We got stuff happening down here.
My gosh, what is going on? Shamu is in a tree.
That's the thing. Everyone wants to talk about California problems. You don't have problems like we're shutting down.
Are you kidding me?
Down.
The Underground Railroad. There's a family looked up in a tree. There's a bear, a wild bear, just hanging out. And they had to shut down 12 rides.
What kind of bear was that?
The black bear.
And each of them are different. According to Dwight Schrute, each of them are different. One will kill you.
I'm telling you, if we're looking for the gateway to like other dimensions, it's in Florida.
Everybody's chill in California. Down here, we're a little stressed out. Leave us alone. We got to deal with stuff.
I think having a live bear in the amusement park actually enhances the excitement for the day.
That's what I'm
saying. To be honest.
Oh, it definitely does.
It's memorable.
Yeah. You will never forget that day at Disney World.
Where we lost Timmy to the cocaine bear. All right. We have a great show in store for you today. Levi Lesko joins us. He's a pastor and author, friend of the show. We also, at the end of the show, Jesse doesn't know this, but you guys have been sending in more story time requests. So that's happening at the end of the show. And stay tuned up next. It's Slices. You're listening to Vagabond. The song is Lexicon.
Not sure what's next after college?
Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant.
Okay, it's time for
Slices.
What do you have, Jesse?
All right, this one I think is pretty cool. I'm interested to hear everyone's thoughts on it. Cool. But pretty cool. Neuralink, the company owned by Elon Musk, is looking for some volunteers to actually test the new Neuralink technology, which basically what they're looking for is, you know, ultimately what they hope that this technology will achieve from like a medical perspective is to give people with paralysis more ability, you know, more neurological abilities, especially if they suffer like a spinal cord injury.
And to be fair, when we first heard about this, you know, he said stuff like, you'll be able to listen to music inside your head. You won't need headphones. And he said other weird things that we were like, we don't want to control our computer screens with our eyes. We just don't want that. We don't want to have an implant, right? But then when you find out the actual business is because what they're working on is giving paralyzed patients the ability to move their limbs again, or blind patients the ability to see, or deaf patients the ability to hear, but rewiring the nerves and the brain and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay, this is actually trying to help people, not just.
And so what they're looking for this first like clinical trial with real humans is individuals who are quadriplegic because of a spinal injury. So basically people who had an injury that has, you know, basically not allowed them to use their arms and legs. And they're going to do this brain implant. And the first step is to do a trial to see if they can be given the ability to move a mouse cursor only with their mind. This is obviously it's incremental steps. But the idea is, can you activate part of your brain that just by thought can execute some sort of activity out in the physical real world? Now, obviously, there's a long way to go between moving a mouse cursor with thought and you know, restoring the use of limbs that are suffering paralysis. But I think it's pretty cool. You know, they actually had a. I don't know if you guys saw some of the tests they did with, like, it was a chimpanzee. It was some sort of primate, some sort of monkey, where they had this implant in the monkey's mind, and they had the monkey play the video game Pong. Mm-hmm. And every time the monkey scored, he would get a treat. So he was incentivized to kind of play the game better and better. So they gave him the joystick. They hooked him up. He had the Neuralink device, and it would play Pong against the computer and got pretty good at it. Now, the twist was the joystick they gave the monkey wasn't actually plugged in. The monkey was actually playing the game with his mind.
Yeah, that's what we need as a society is monkeys that can control things with their mind. That's great.
Yeah, it reminds me of the time we talked about the monkeys that got drunk.
Right. Right.
Drunken monkeys, scary.
Here's what I'm worried about, right?
Let's
Elon
hear
Musk,
let's hear it.
This is what I think he's going to do. It's going to start here with good intentions. And in a couple years, he's going to upload a Grimes album to everyone's head, and then we're stuck, kind of like the U2 situation, and now we're stuck with an album.
We don't.
Are you a paraplegic and are you a music fan? That's what they're asking now, right? And so, like, now we're gonna have I'm gonna have Taylor Swift's album programmed in my mind without even knowing, and I'm gonna be listening to it while just trying to take a step of faith.
Yeah, we're definitely again.
He's gonna sell it.
Uncharted territory, but yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely starting off with good intentions, but
and it's going to twist. That's how
I know,
it happens. Money
I know
gets
humans.
Involved.
Yeah.
Elon Musk gets humans. And now I have to pay for X to be on it. He wants to do that now. Money's going to be.
Or now they're hacking my brain.
Yeah, they're going to sponsor you with Jiffy Lube commercials and stuff in our brains.
Bro.
Deep
songs.
Free.
Yeah,
Bro.
I want to get that.
Think about this, though. Think about this. Only 10 years ago, I used to think my phone was safe. Now people are calling people for they'll they'll use your number to call someone else.
Yeah.
Like it's like technology is just progressing. Like somebody's Facebook is hacked every week. So my thing is, no matter what kind of technology we do, that there's always going to be somebody that exploits it and they're going to turn and like hacking someone's brain or putting technology in someone's brain is just, it's terrifying to me.
Think about the computer systems that you would think would be most secure. Department of Defense, casinos.
They hack them all.
Right now, MGM is dealing with a massive cyber attack where they're losing $8 million a day right now.
That's crazy.
Exactly.
Because all MGM casinos and resorts have been cyber attacked. People are locked out of their rooms. All the games won't play. I mean, like, you'd think they would be investing in cybersecurity. I don't want stuff in my brain. I'm sorry. I think it's amazing that paralyzed people might be able to get, you know, whatever. But like,
there's demands too for the biggest. There's demands. Like, imagine someone hacking your brain. Like, hey, we have a demand. You have to, and it turns into some Black Mirror type stuff. Where I don't know. I know I'm going crazy off the rails right now. I had too much coffee, but that's where my mind's going right now.
What
Black Mirror? It's going to start to happen.
You're talking to two people who believe in conspiracies quite readily in Jesse and Derek. So,
you guys really are. What's your I don't believe in any of them. Give me a good one. Please give me a good one.
Jesse.
Yeah, well.
But yours are all sweet and kind. They're not like diabolical like some of my friends who are like.
See, I only like low stakes ones, though. We're like, no one's like, my favorite is like, I don't think we landed on the moon in 1969. Like,
oh, stop it.
We're fine.
Hold on. Emily.
Cameron.
All right, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to address this one.
Opening this
because window. I think we absolutely.
I had a space scrapbook in fourth grade. I grew up loving the space program.
That's
There's
so nerdy.
No way.
I think we absolutely
went to space camp 3 years ago. I mean, come on.
Leave my friend alone, Emily. Not make fun of my friend.
I think we absolutely landed on the moon, but I do think the moon landing footage is fake. All right.
Sure.
Here. I think
because
like,
the real footage wasn't ready for primetime broadcast, so they had another.
But I mean, so you think humans have walked on the moon? Yes,
I think we've gotten there. I don't think we got there when we said we did, but I think we've gotten there.
But we've only gone, we only went like two other times after that. And it was pretty close succession, right?
I didn't have a space scrapbook, Cameron.
I think the Apollo mission was pretty close together.
I didn't get to go to camp. You know, I had real problems.
If you
watch divorce, what do you guys have?
The real interesting conspiracy, and you can go watch YouTube breakdowns of this, is that Stanley Kubrick was hired by the U.S. government.
Oh yes,
to fake the moon landing footage because he was the world's best filmmaker at the time, and he used natural effects. And his film, The Shining, is actually his coded confession to taking part in this government plot. Now there's actually a scene where the kid in The Shining is wearing a NASA shirt with a rocket, and he like moves these toys in a certain position. There's some very compelling evidence.
You don't think he just did that as an homage because of the rumblings, and he kind of thought it would be funny to like mess with people? I mean that's more likely.
Here's my thing.
Trying to confess in a movie.
In the world have we not went back?
We're about
About
to. That's what's happening.
So think about this. You saying that it's taking us, 40 years?
We didn't need to.
To get the technology. 60. Why didn't we need, why do we need to go back now?
So back when it was announced by Kennedy, it's obviously the 60s, incredibly tumultuous decade. It was a way for the government to kind of rally American kind of pride and stuff. This was post-war by a couple, 20 years. The Cold War was happening. Okay. It gave us a rallying cry. So they invested crazy in it and they did it. The problem is after we went a few times, nobody cared anymore. And it was incredibly expensive. We had done all the technological advances that we needed to develop to get there, and it really wasn't adding anything, and it cost so much money. We had a war going on.
So why didn't we just shut down NASA then?
They stopped the rocket program, and they started developing the shuttle program, which was meant to have a different goal. It was supposed to take us up all the time with a reusable craft versus a one-off rocket. And so then you could do a space station. You could actually start working on developing the space industry, satellites, and things like that. It just shifted priorities. We didn't need to go back to the moon. We needed to economize space, and that's what happened.
We don't need to do a lot of stuff that we do.
Or whatever we found up there, ask us not to come back, and there was a technology exchange, and we've been reverse engineering You want to go conspiracies? You know,
let's get it. Let's get it.
Ask, hey, look up music heard from Dark Side of the Moon by NASA astronauts. I'm just throwing it out there.
Your version of the internet is blocked by about 17 filters in my house. I couldn't search up half of what.
Oh,
you
it's
do.
The dark. It's the darkest of dark. Oh
yeah,
ways.
Yeah. And then look. Then after that, look at Project Fishbowl.
I just can't get over Cameron having like a space scrapbook growing up. Like that's what I keep imagining.
The fourth grade. I loved it.
I got Neil deGrasse Tyson over here. He's telling us all the facts. I loved it. Derek had real questions. So did Emily and Jesse. And Cameron's like, "Whatever, I got it. Listen,
hey guys,
See, that's the thing about conspiracy theorists. If somebody knows something, those theories go out the window. Cameron knew. Debunked them. Debunked us. Fact check them.
This is how uninformed we all seem to be about the space program. The standard for expertise credibility is one of us had a scrapbook about space at the age of 9. No one listened to anything we're saying.
Another conspiracy theory is that that all the scientists, or a lot of scientists from NASA, were German scientists that had
that's not a conspiracy. That's Operation Paperclip. Werner von Braun was a Nazi scientist who we recruited and didn't get the Nuremberg trial because we wanted him to come over and develop the V2 rocket, which got us to the moon. That's history. Annie Jacobson has a great book about that.
Jesse, did you also have a space scrapbook? Is this your way of telling us that?
It's a conspiracy scrapbook.
I do want to clarify that.
It's everything is written with magazine letters that I cut out, and all the eye holes are poked out. All the pictures.
Very conspiracy. I do want to clarify. I first heard the conspiracy that we didn't land on the moon when we said we did from my science teacher in high school.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, East Texas doesn't count.
No, they don't, I was in the Dallas suburbs. That was Dallas.
Oh, that's cold.
Yeah, that's actually just the Texas public education system.
Well,
shout
again,
out
I wouldn't rely on the Texas public. Anyway, all right, Jesse, did you say your slice?
Yeah,
that
Neuralink.
Was a slice.
Neuralink, there you go. All right, what do you got, Derek?
Yeah, all right, so Bernie Sanders is backing. Well, first of all, before we get into that name, the UAW strike is happening right now. This is very near and dear to my heart because my mom worked for General Motors for most of my life growing up. So she was a proud member of the UAW, et cetera, et cetera. And for those of you that don't know, the auto companies got bailed out, what, in 08, right? Was it 08 when the auto companies got bailed out? And since then, they've had record profits, but the employees have been overworked and underpaid. Mm. So they have four key points as to why they're striking. One is they need a raise. They're like, we want a 40% raise, the reason I ask for that is like, yo, since 08, we haven't had scheduled raises. So we need a back pay for that in a sense. And then another one is a 4-day work week, which is 32 hours, and Bernie Sanders is backing this 4-day work week. And the reason he's saying that, his whole platform is that that's probably the reason Americans are overworked, and that's the reason why life expectancy in America is declining, which I tend to feel the same way. Think about this. We're the richest country in the world. Like, the rich people I know don't work as much. They get money to work less. And that's not everybody in the country is rich, right? But we know that we generate enough money where I think people can have a 4-day work week. I think that's
the
rational.
The argument that I've seen is that when the 5-day work week was established by Henry Ford back in the 20s, it was obviously an address to people were working way more than that, right? So he's like, let's put, you know, a work week together. Yeah. And I saw somebody defend the fact that, like, now with the technological tools we have available and the productivity tools we have available, we can be far more productive today in 4 days than anybody could have been in 5 days in the 60s or whatever, when you had to do manual, you know, you had to have pay secretaries to transcribe your letters and you had to mail them, whatever. Now it's just like, shoot a text, boom, I'm done. I don't need to invest all the same amount of time to accomplish the same amount of work. And so a 4-day work week would be just as productive as a 5-day in less technological times. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is people are stressed out for a low amount of pay. So it's not just 4-day work week. It's a four-day work week, same amount of pay.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not let's cut off 8 hours. It's like, no, let's pay people more. Let them work less. And I agree with you, Cameron, is that productivity is probably going to go higher. It probably would be much higher.
The other
higher.
Thing I heard that they're striking about is like the old way in the auto industry is like legacy workers make something like 4 or 5 times more mm-hmm. than new employees, younger employees. And there's this like 2-tiered system mm-hmm. that is a remnant of an old labor agreement. And like, so that's another thing they're fighting to abolish is like you paying even younger, newer workers the same as like legacy career workers, you know. So
well, to my knowledge, that was part of the New Deal, I think, I guess in 08, was these new workers weren't going to get paid that amount. Right. I guess in order for the companies to survive, right?
Yeah.
In order for those companies to survive. So everybody else was grandfathered into the old way. But now you got these new workers that are coming in that are really, really underpaid. Like they're breaking their back, they're doing the same amount of work and they're not getting next to anything. It's embarrassing at times when you look at what some of these people make over the time that they've been there, right?
You know what we should do?
I like the idea of a 4-day work week because my old job, it was, you know, normal 5-day, 8-to-5. But in the summer, since I worked for a university, things were a lot slower. And so we were able to do a 4-day work week. We kind of had to, we would like rotate who got to do it that week. But it was honestly so nice. And like, I still got all my work done at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then I had 3 days to rest. And it was like having just one extra day to get stuff done around my house or to relax more or do something. Like I came back in the next week and it wasn't like, oh, I have to go. Okay. I got a full week ahead. It was like, okay, I can do this. Like I'm coming from a place of rest. I wasn't stressed, you know, like I think there's a lot of benefits mentally and just knowing that there are very few jobs that I think need to work 5 days a week. There's a lot that you can do it in 4 days and 32 hours and you're fine.
We're the richest, most technologically advanced like mm-hmm. country, period. There's no reason why everyone should be so stressed out. Like
I think we should add an extra month to the year. I think that would solve our problems.
That's crazy.
An extra month of the year. Every month is 28 days. We have the same amount of every weekend is like a certain mapped out weekend, 4-day work week. Mm-hmm. I want all that. I want to live in communist Argentina, where they do these things. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's my past life.
Last slice. What do you have, Marty?
Hey, all right, guys. I got the best story of all. I'm really happy, actually, about this one. All right. So here's a story. A journalist names her baby Methamphetamine Rules. That's the full name. Methamphetamine Rules to test the country's naming regulations. An Australian journalist unintentionally named her son Methamphetamine Rules. According to the
Guardian, unintentionally,
just was testing out, submitted her son's name to New South Wales Birth, Deaths, and Marriages as Methamphetamine Rules. We thought, this is what she says, we thought we would submit the most outrageous name we could think of, assuming it would be rejected. But it didn't turn out that way. Unfortunately, it slipped through the cracks. A spokesperson confirmed that the name slipped through and that even though they had strengthened the registry's process, it's very highly unusual. And they're going to work with the family to change the name. But, you know, what do you guys think about Lil Methy?
That little cute meth.
Little meth. He's going to have the worst adorable, life ever. That's number one. Yeah.
You can name yourself whatever. Like Subway just did a thing. They'll pay you $10,000 if you change your legal name to Subway.
I do think, so the reason they had to like submit it, I think in Australia there's a few different rules when it comes to like name registry. That's why she was testing it out. Cause it's like, there are some restrictions on like, you can't name your kid. Just kind of like to protect the kid from like being called Lil Methy.
Yeah, like Metha. But, you know, like imagine that kid introducing himself in front of class. Like, all right, everyone, there's Jackson and over there there's Carlos and then Methamphetamine Rules. You know what I'm saying? What a great – he's going to go to rehab. He's not going to go to elementary.
Yeah. But I was reading something about this because I was like, that is insane that they – that they just kind of risked it. And then it also happened because it's like the third kid too. there's something I think with Australian registry, even if they change the name, I think there's always going to be a record that they initially were named.
That's amazing. Men and
Men Rules. Baby meth.
That will carry them with the rest of their life.
That's amazing.
So forever, they'll be a little methy.
Whose idea was that? You think it was like the mom's idea? Like, dude, we should just try it. The mom and the dad was like, no, don't do that.
I'm putting this on the dad.
That's a dad idea. That is a dad idea. He was thinking about the Roman Empire, and he was like, I wonder how strict their standards were.
She had Enrique for him originally, and he was like, wait a second.
All right, well, that'll do it for
Slices.
All right, check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday where we're covering stuff like that. All right, stay tuned. Up next, Levi Lusco joins us.
So I just danced.
You're listening to DPR Ian. The song is So I Danced. She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Levi Lusco. He's a pastor and author of books like Through the Eyes of a Lion, I Declare War, and his latest, Marvel at the Moon. We sat down with him to talk about the ongoing loneliness epidemic so many young adults are battling and how the church can step in and offer solutions. Here's our conversation with Levi Lusco.
Well, you've got a new children's book out that talks about battling loneliness, but I feel like that's something that also affects adults just as much. Why do you think this generation is struggling so much with loneliness these days?
You know, loneliness and anxiety, like you mentioned, is not just a current problem. We have to always remind ourselves to ground ourselves in true history. It's a human problem. It's always been a thing, but it is in our country, in our culture, something that we have the privilege of dealing with more and more because we are capable of being complicit in our own suffering. And we are, in the sense that technology and the modern age has allowed us to build lives where we don't talk to strangers anymore. You know, we used to stand in line at the bank. We used to stand in line at the grocery store. And now we don't even have to have a driver in our Uber in major metropolitan areas. There's autonomous self-driving vehicles that can take you point A to point B without even the banalities of conversation about the weather with a stranger. And you have Instacart that allows you to say, leave the groceries at the door. Don't even ring the doorbell so I can come out of my lair only to snag them quickly. And we shut the garage doors before we get out of our cars. We shifted from being a front yard people to being a backyard people. And then now we wonder why we're miserable when loneliness has been proven to be the same on your body as smoking 15 cigarettes a day or having 6 alcoholic beverages per day. It's bad for your heart, bad for your immune system, bad for your inflammation. It's terrible for you. I mean, in newsflash, in prison, they put you in solitary confinement as a punishment. But somehow we've built a life of ease, convenience, transactions that is lonely. And then we're now all confused why it's so hard when all of our interactions are digital and we don't have the beauty and the power of talking to someone we don't know, you know? So that's probably more than you wanted to know, but some part of why we're alone and why we're lonely.
I do think there is a small argument that in some ways technology has allowed us to stay connected more than ever, like through phone calls and FaceTimes. But I think it's replaced, like you said, a lot of those like smaller interactions, that quality time. I think it might be really helpful to know, like, how can we like live in our world and still, and not completely reject technology, but make sure we're being healthy with it and balancing it.
Very good. We have to let it be a servant and not a master. All right. And easier said than done. Same's true of money. Same's true of fire. I just finished this book about the worst wildfire in American history. 1910, it burnt an area down the size of New Jersey, you know, very large. Enough wood was burned in this fire to keep America full of lumber for 10 years. And it all burnt down in 30 days. September 1st, fire was put out. Three state area, Montana, Idaho, Washington. And I had never heard of this fire. I lived in this area for all these years, never knew about it. The Maui wildfire prompted me to look into it more. And so fire is great because it helps us drive cars, internal combustion, heat our homes, all the pleasure of a bonfire, but it's a bad master. It's a great servant. So loneliness and technology, it's going to be the dance of us enjoying the beauty of an Uber, because that's amazing, but then also at the same time, not letting it be our master. So one thing that helps is like when I sit on an airplane, you know, it's easy from the moment you get on to the moment you get off. You wear your AirPods till you get on, then you transition to your Bose, you know, and instead like talking. Like I had this most wonderful conversation with a woman on a plane the other day. Her husband died of COVID in 2021. They had been together since they were 14, but because she had COVID too, they couldn't even be in the same room while he died. So they FaceTimed to say goodbye. I mean, I'm like bawling on this plane talking to this lovely woman. It turns out her son is a keyboard player in the band Journey. Like I got off this plane and I called my wife. I'm like, I'm a fan of Judy, you know, this woman I just met. And I could have shielded myself from that whole conversation with technology. But when we actually just talk to someone and get in their world, it was so, we got to have the greatest talk. And I encouraged her to write this StoryWorth thing down where she can write a book basically about her life experiences, give it to her kids. Cause she was like, I feel like I have these stories that no one wants to listen to, but my kids one day will want them. So anyhow, I think all I'm just trying to say is if we just take our headphones off every once in a while and open ourselves up to what we think is an annoyance, it's actually going to be so good medication for us just to talk to people.
I do think a lot of people, particularly in my generation, I want to be careful with this. They use the excuse of social anxiety as a reason to not be that person to initiate a conversation or to put themselves out there. And I'm just curious, you know, like what are practical ways that we can maybe get over that social anxiety or push through that?
Gabrielle Reese, the volleyball player, was interviewed recently and she said, just go first, go first. Smile, look up from your phone, say hello, take the bullet of going first. And once you do, you'll find almost always a relief that they were waiting for that too, but they were afraid as well. We're all afraid. We're all anxious about talking to strangers. We're all preconditioned to be on our feeds if we do have to stand in line at the post office. But I think when you just put the phone in the back pocket and just go first, how's that going? Or how's that coffee? Or, you know, I don't know. I think when someone's got to fall on the sword, and once you do, it's almost this beautiful surge of like, oh, wow, you're noticing me. You're seeing me. You're carrying me. And what's crazy about it is you walk away from that experience always more blessed by giving than had you just focused on receiving. You know, so I heard someone say once, look for lonely people. You know, I think if you kind of become a person who walks into an environment and just instead of thinking about yourself, just goes, I wonder who's lonely in this room. Who can I befriend? Who can I just chat with? Who can I make laugh? Who can I make smile? We all love the flight attendant or the person, you know, the hostess or host at the restaurant who just looks like they're enjoying life and not dreading it. And if you can kind of be that and just be a source of joy, try and channel your inner Bob Goff, you know, walking into things. Cause I'm the same way. I'm an introvert. I give me a long book and a big cup of coffee and I'm happy, but I always walk away somewhat blessed if I just take a second and talk to someone.
You know, I think a lot of people too, they maybe recognize they're lonely and they maybe hear like, I just need to put myself out there, but they don't even know where does that start. So like what's like a good first step for someone who wants to like push back on loneliness?
Well, I mean, I'm a pastor, so you're going to hear me say something that's going to feel self-serving, but I think the church is one of the best places in the world to meet lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds and areas of life. And sadly, you know, there's a very famous book by Robert Putnam, Bowling Alone, that really exposed the breakdown of not only churches, but also in our culture, institutions that were traditionally good vehicles for meeting strangers have gone away. Bridge clubs, sewing clubs, bowling leagues, all those things are going the way of the dodo bird. And I think we have in the church, one of the last remaining, you know, outside of pickleball, you know, which is kind of everyone in the secular media is kind of heralding as the panacea for all male loneliness, specifically because men do struggle worse than women statistically at having close friends and maintaining them, specifically through their 30s. But I think when you do something like join a small group, or, you know, and if you're like, oh, I'm not a church person, well, then go to a bingo night at a bar. You know, I think if you go to an environment where you're going to kind of have to interact with people, I think you're not going to regret that. You know, these digital caves, binge watching, you know, The Bear, as good as that show is, because we have these tools that now are kind of like the Midas touch. And turns out turning everything to gold is hard to eat anything, you know?
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. You know, before we wrap up, I just would love to know, do you have anything you want to say to someone who's struggling with loneliness?
Get outside yourself. Do the mess. Sign up for a church small group. Get into a bingo night. Serve a team. My wife's first small group was, she was 14, and she was in a small group with all these 70-year-old women. It was the only one left that had spaces. And she's like, oh, dang it. But she says that was what she needed. She didn't need more time with 14-year-olds. They were all just having crushes on Uncle Jesse from Saved by the Bell. You know, she needed these 70-year-old women to go, hey, I'm looking back on my life with regret and with heartache and with blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I got so much wisdom. And I'm like on the other side going, I'm glad I got married to a woman who at 14 was getting mentored by 70-year-olds. So, you know, don't just look for people like you. You're probably thinking, well, I need other people like me. Well, that's where you spend all your time on Reddit. You're getting advice from the other people who are complaining about Delta's changes to their Sky Club policy. You know, you go birds of a feather flock together. Your best friends of ever might be people completely different from you in lots of ways. And don't let that stop you. Take the jump, you know, and then because we were talking about it, I'd say if you have kids, get Marvel at the Moon, read it to them, and I hope it helps them, because it's all about you're never alone in God's majestic universe.
That was Levi Lesko. Make sure to check out his new book, Marvel at the Moon. All right, stay tuned. Up next, it's story time with Uncle Jesse. You're listening to Hot Freaks. The song is Lioness. Hot Freaks. They kicked me out of the band.
I was to say, I named new the name band, for the podcast. Yeah.
Hot Freaks.
All right. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Okay, it's time for... Okay, well, normally we play a game here, do other little things or whatever. This summer, we did a little round of story time with Uncle Jesse. Jesse has told many, many stories over the years, and we actually just randomly in July asked you guys, what are some of your favorite stories? Because I don't think Derek and some of the cast has heard them. And so you guys hit us up, and you have still been hitting us up. Like, we stopped that series. We did like three or four of them.
Yeah.
And we said, we're done. But you guys keep tweeting us asking for more of these Jesse stories. So we fine. We'll do a few more.
Jesse, you've got to write a book. Like, yeah, please. Apparently you have so many.
Little programming note. Derek had to step out, so he won't be here for this segment, but the other four of us got it. So, all right. So Karen Stepko, Jesse, she wants to know, she wants to hear again about the lion costume. She said, although it's, when I think about that story, it's actually a little more sad than funny, but she wants you to tell the lion costume story.
This could literally happen to anyone.
Nope.
It was elementary school. And for some reason, I was under the impression that the big elementary school party, years have gone by, almost a lifetime.
Yeah.
So some of the details are foggy. All I know is I came home from school with the distinct impression that the big elementary school end of the year party was a costume party. Once again, don't know why I believe this. I informed my mom, who spent about a week preparing pretty dope lion costume. Face paint, mane, full body suit.
Wow.
And we show up to the party. She drops me off. I walk into the auditorium, or what do they call them? Gymnatorium or whatever. The same one where you eat and do the little rollerball. I get dropped off, walk in. And I'm full lion costume and realize it's not a costume party. And I'm just a random kid dressed as a lion all afternoon. Now, the thing about a lion costume, especially a onesie one like that, it can't really change. There's no going back. It's not like you're a football player.
Were you
kind
of known as that for the rest of your educational life?
Lion boy?
Oh,
my
gosh. Yeah, it was. Thankfully, I averted. I think I just didn't acknowledge it. Like, if you're...
Oh, no, no, no.
Just an unacknowledged lion.
You had to go to the bathroom
lion.
If it was a onesie. Did you have to take off, like, the lion mane and everything and, like, just slip out of it? I had you go to the bathroom
this is how
if it's
you,
a one-way.
This is how you and I are different. I would have walked in and seen the gym full of regularly dressed children, and I would have immediately... run to the bathroom, sat in a stall until my mom came and picked me up. Like, nobody had seen me. I just didn't show up.
What did you tell your mom that she made a costume for nothing?
What's that?
Did you tell your mom that she had made that costume for like no reason?
Oh, I'm sure. Well, it wasn't for nothing. It was for a lifelong traumatic memory.
Do you have pictures of this, Jesse?
They've been destroyed.
Okay. okay. Ben Collins wants to know about Biker Fox.
Oh, I think he's still around.
No way. There's no way he's still around.
So in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there is an individual who rides a mountain bike through the streets, and he does one, and it's a mountain bike, and he wears like a tight biking suit.
Y'all just Google real quick Biker Fox Tulsa and you'll see everything you need to see.
He's basically a local celebrity. And what he does, and he has one trick, which he rides very fast. He jams the front brake of the mountain bike and jumps over the handlebars and lands on his feet. That is his one and only trick. Okay.
Sorry, I just linked him up too. And
do you see his face? Do you see his face? Like, hold on. Can I just, I wonder if I could post this photo.
He has a movie.
Oh, I've seen the film. And he does it in the middle of intersections. He stops traffic does it to get attention. And I had a college radio station at the time, and we did our first.
You didn't
guest,
have a station; you had a show.
A show on the college radio station, and we were able to contact him and had him as a guest on our radio show. It was one of the most intense and awkward 2 hours of my life. And shortly thereafter, he wouldn't leave. Shortly thereafter, the school canceled the show. But
wow! Wait, what happened in those 2 hours?
A lot.
You
of
didn't
calling
get the
questions.
Joke, right?
What joke?
Exactly. Like, you guys brought him on. Ironically, he came on thinking you guys think he's awesome, and like, there's nothing worse than that, you know.
Yeah. We
had John Tesh
costume.
We had John Tesh years ago. We had John Tesh on this show for the full episode, for the full hour of John Tesh. The great thing about John Tesh is John Tesh gets the joke of John Tesh. Nickelback does not get the joke of Nickelback. Biker Fox does not get the joke of Biker Fox. So It's very unfortunate.
You know who he looks like?
Do you regret bringing him on since you got your show canceled?
No, I regret nothing, and that's what I told the station manager.
That's not the only reason why you got your show canceled. It's because you were crank calling famous names in the phone book on the
air.
We
called Larry Bird and asked him a lot of Celtics questions. Just a man in Tulsa.
That's amazing.
Among the celebrities. Like, you know, there was a Thomas Cruise that lived in. And so we advertised that we were having Larry Bird and Tom Cruise on, and we just called.
That's incredible. That's journalism.
We weren't lying.
How did people react? Like, most of the time, how did they react? Did they, like, hang up immediately, or did they try to play along?
Well, it was a slow process, you know. we were able to bait them into the, you know. We told them we were calling for a radio station, had some questions for them. And then, you know, over the course, they understood and then hung up angrily. But, you know, listen, we're trying to spice it up a little.
I mean, that's half of our cover stories is just calling famous people who don't want to be bothered. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy, the biker, you know who he looks like? He reminds me of like the dad from That 70s Show. If you don't know what he looks like, he looks like that guy, skinnier.
With a mullet.
Longer mullet hair. That's exactly what he looked like. Yeah. He looks like that guy.
That guy, if he lived in Florida.
He looks more like the RoboCop villain version, not That 70s Show dad version. Like, he looks more of like... scarier, like Haunted Pass, like Alanis Morissette with the Haunted Pass, you know, tattered.
Yeah. Did you have him do any of his stunts, like in the studio or something? Like, what did you talk to this man about?
Fitness, his life,
his outfit.
How did you end up like this?
His philosophy.
Kind of a thing?
Yeah.
His traumatic brain injury. No, I'm shaking. That's messed up.
Well, there's more where that came from. Unfortunately, we have to cut things a little short. I had one or two more. I might bring them up at another show. So, well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Levi Lusco for joining us today. Make sure to check out his latest book, Marvel at the Moon. It's available now. Also, head over to relevantmagazine.com every weekday, where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. Or we're publishing the latest stuff that's happening. We have great think pieces and features each day. And of course, you can check out our magazine content there as well for free. Also check out Relevant Plus. It's the best way to experience our content. All the info is right there at the site. Plans start as low as $250 a month, and you get ad-free, unlimited content on relevantmagazine.com. You get the ad-free version of this podcast, exclusive subscriber podcast, and more. Like I said, all the info is right there on the Relevant Plus tab at relevantmagazine.com. Okay, on that note, we'll wrap it. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
It's Marty.
For Derek... we'll see you guys on Friday. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
I regret nothing.
Relevant Podcast Network.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.